I want you to imagine today that Martin down here decides he wants to buy another farm. Now, I don't know whether that's the case or not, but so what he would probably have to do is borrow some more money to buy it. So eventually he moves onto it, he takes the control of the farm, and he expects to make a good living out of it. And then he thinks, now, if I plant this wheat, this crop of wheat, there mightn't be enough rain to finish it off. Well, there might be too much rain, it might ruin it. Or maybe if I do get a crop, I won't be able to find anybody to harvest it. So it seems all a bit too hard, and he doesn't sow anything at all. It's just too difficult. Now, if that happened, well, his farming venture wouldn't last too long, would it? It wouldn't be too long before he owed too much money and the bank would sell him up. So what's the moral of that story? If you don't sow the wheat, the business will fail. To be a successful farmer has to sow the seed. And so to be successful in God's kingdom, you have to sow the seed of God's word. Now, we've been looking through Matthew in the last few weeks, and just looking at different aspects of the kingdom of God through the teachings of Jesus. Firstly, we saw the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus laid down the basis of what the kingdom is about. And then later we saw the mission of the kingdom. And now we come to this part, which is this third teaching of Jesus, which is the parables of the kingdom. Now, prior to this, Jesus had been teaching in the synagogues, often to the religious leaders of the day, the educated people, the intelligent people, and the Pharisees, of course, he'd been teaching to. And he hadn't been getting a very good reception, as he often didn't. And they didn't want to believe what he had to say. They didn't want to believe that he was the Messiah. And they were always plotting ways to kill him. He was being rejected. So how did Jesus handle this? Well, if we go to verse 1, if you'd like to look in your Bibles, in verse 1 and 2, it said there, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. So he went down to the shore, and the crowds followed him. He had to get away from all those people, the other people that were rejecting him. And there were many people there, and he had to get into a boat so that he could talk to them, because he was being crowded out. And these crowds of people are really just like you and I. They're just ordinary people. They were just ordinary people. They were quite eager to hear what he had to say. They hadn't necessarily believed at this stage, but they wanted to hear what he had to say. And so how did he address them? Well, if we go to verse 3, he said, then he told them many things in parables. And this parable that we've got today, this parable of the soils or the sower, it goes like this. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Now this was a different way of getting the message across. And his disciples who were with him, following him around, and they had noticed and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? Now that's a good question, isn't it? Why did he all of a sudden change his way of talking? Why did you speak in parables? Well, maybe we just look at what a parable is. It can have several meanings. And some have said it's an everyday story with a spiritual meaning, usually something that we can identify with. It often compares two subjects. It's a little like a riddle. It has a storyline, but I'm not very good at telling stories. And I usually forget the punchline, but Jesus was really a master storyteller. He was able to use parables to hold the crowd's attention and to get his message across. And he needed to do that because there was a lot of opposition around. Now, as we see later in the chapter, a parable usually needed explaining. And what we usually only get one message from it, maybe two, but it certainly wasn't meant to have a different message for every fine detail amongst it. So that's what a parable is about. But why did Jesus speak in parables? If we go to verse 11, he replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." So he says to the disciples, "You know the message of the kingdom, but to these people here, that message is hidden." That's hidden, and that needs to be revealed to them. In verse 34 and 35, if we just go past the reading that we had today, it also says there, he told them still another parable. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." He uses parables to reveal the truth, but only to those who are hungry for the truth. He says, if you are willing to hear, you will gain some truth. And if you have some truth as the disciples did, then you'll grow even further. That's what he was saying to them. And it's a bit like us. If we use our muscles, then they'll grow in size and strength. But if we don't use them, we'll eventually lose them, as they say. And because of that, the parables can speak to any of us here, no matter how far down the spiritual road we may be. And they can be used to bring us to a point of decision. Verse 14 and 15. "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes." Parables will reinforce the need to decide about Jesus. And last week, Tim brought to us through the passage in chapter 12, in verse 30. The question put to the Pharisees was, "Are you for me or against me?" Decisions had to be made. And this theme is going to continue throughout the parables, and particularly in this one today. Jesus wanted everyone to believe. It was his passion. In this quotation from Isaiah that we've just read, he is seeing people who have heard the message of the kingdom. It was prophesied from long ago that the Messiah would come in this way, but there were many who had ignored it, and their hearts had become calloused. They heard the words, but they didn't understand. For whatever reason, they'd closed their eyes to the message of salvation, the message of the kingdom of God. But it really wasn't a fait accompli that this would be the case, that they hardened their hearts so much that the seed could not get into it. And we read in the rest of that verse there, "Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." This doesn't mean that there is no hope for those who have heard the message before, but it is a cry of frustration and love from Jesus to these people. If only they would allow themselves to hear and to see, and to allow him to come into their lives, and then he would heal them. He would give them the salvation that they had long waited for. He was the one that they had looked forward to. If only they would listen, not only with their mind, but with their hearts as well. Jesus was willing to come into their lives, just as he was willing to heal the man with leprosy that we would have read about earlier in Matthew. Were they willing to let him in? It was a question then. And the question for us today is, are you willing to let him come into your life? Or are you letting the message of Jesus continually go over your head? And so it's into this scene, and for these reasons, that Jesus uses parables to teach. There were many people down through the ages who would have loved to have been able to witness this time of the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the kingdom. But for those who saw then, those who saw the coming of the kingdom then, and for those who see it now, it is a very blessed thing. And that's verse 16 and 17. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. And so we come to this parable. This parable, it starts, a farmer went out to sow. Now, we saw some pictures up on the wall there before, which really give us an inkling of what it's about. And it's probably easier for us here out in the country rather than in the city to understand this parable. But it's probably not quite as well as those who were living in the area where Jesus was, where he was telling this story. We have wide open spaces. The soil is cultivated well. And if we have any weeds, we spray them out these days. But in Jesus' time, the corn-growing country was usually an open area near a town. It would have been divided up into small properties with no fences. And what there was in the countryside there was main roads and paths, but often people would take shortcuts. Well, they would avoid those roads because of robbers and people that would molest them at the time. So they would go off through the farming country and so create other paths across these fields, dividing them up even further. And I could imagine that there were areas of stone there, quite a lot of stone probably in that country, and the ground would have only been scratched over with a primitive plough, and the weeds in places would not have really been properly under control. So how do we respond to the parable of the sower, or the parable of the soils, that is, as it is often and perhaps more correctly referred to? We're reminded in verse 9, he who has ears, to let him hear. The seed, as we said earlier, as others have been saying, the seed is the message of salvation. It is the gospel of Jesus. It is the message of God's plan for us. Today it is the message that Jesus walked on this earth as a man, that he died on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins, that he rose from the dead, and that by believing we might spend eternity with him. And so Jesus says in verse 18, where we begin to see the explanation of this parable. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. So if you can imagine, this is like the seed that falls on the headland, where we turn around at the end of a paddock and some seed falls down there. It's hard ground. It's been driven over many times. It may germinate a little bit if it gets some moisture, but it dies pretty well straight away. Now, that seed's good seed, just like the rest of it, rest of the seed being planted in the field. The message is the same as what falls on that good soil, the soft soil, but it falls, this time, on hard hearts. It doesn't really strike a note at all. It doesn't penetrate the facade of this person who doesn't want really to understand it. Not that they can't understand it, but they just don't want to. They might know the facts, but they don't let it sink in. But remember, Jesus wants everyone to understand his message. And yet week after week, year after year, God's word may pass the ears of these people. They may live good lives. They may not miss church for anything. But God is only out there somewhere, and they don't really. Somehow the real message of Jesus being the centre of their lives just doesn't sink in. Their heart may be pricked to respond, but something comes along very quickly and devours that seed. The birds come along and they take it away. They're tempted and distracted, and that seed of God's word dies. It is never really given a chance. And as we look at that part of the parable, Does that illustration that Jesus gave challenge you today? Do you put yourself in that position? Then we go over to verse 20, 21. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Now, if you lived over near Bundara, where I did many years ago, or places where there's lots of granite rocks around, they usually come to the edge of the cultivation. Well, this illustration here might be a little more obvious. Well, for us out here, you could perhaps liken it to planting near a big tree where the moisture and the nutrients are sucked out. The soil may be very shallow. There's nowhere for the roots to develop. And when the weather begins to dry out and heat up the plants, they then shrivel up and die. We see this with some people who have the desire to hear the word of God. They respond to it enthusiastically. They may share with others how exciting it is to know about Jesus, how he's changed their lives. But really what it is all about themselves. They may be wanting to impress somebody too, but there's no depth to the roots in their lives. Their dependence is on themselves. They've forgotten to give God the credit for what has happened in their lives. And then when problems at home or with relationships or work come, they might be ridiculed for their newfound, or they might be ridiculed for their newfound belief. And then they lose interest, quickly lose interest, and they drift away. Initially, they may be involved in everything that's going on, and then it may just happen to be once a month, once a year, and gradually not at all. Do you identify with that in your lives, maybe in the past or even now? This has been your experience. And then the seed fell among the weeds or the thorns in verse 22. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. Do you any of you recognize this in your lives? You've heard the word of God, you understand it. God has penetrated into your heart. The seed has fallen this time into good soil, not hard soil, not shallow soil, but good deep soil. Well, it has to be, because weeds and thistles don't grow in hard or shallow soil. So then what happens when the word of God comes into our lives like this? Life is so busy, isn't it? There's lots to do in this world and not enough time to do it. And so what happens then? God gradually gets pushed back. He's given less time. Now, while it's necessary to develop our careers, build homes, play sport, pursue hobbies, all of these things while we can, they can never really take over. They should never really take over in our lives. We can get consumed by them until God is pushed right out. In the Gospel of Mark, we read, "What good is it for a man if he gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" If we allow the things of this world to dominate our lives, if we pursue wealth and fame at the cost of our relationship with God, then the eternal state of our soul is in danger. At the least, our lives are not fruitful for God. Well, some seed must fall into good soil, and it does. If we look at verse 23, "But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." But we also know that the good soil can vary for many reasons. It might be light, it might be heavy. It might be fertilised or it may not. It may have a lot of rain or only a little. But at the end of the season, there is a harvest, be it half a tonne, be it 1 tonne or 2 tonne. So when the seed of God's word has been sown into the good soil, what has happened there is God's prepared it. The Holy Spirit has come into that person's life and they understand the word. It's not just an intellectual understanding this time, it's a life-changing understanding. They've recognized that their sin has separated them from God, and the Holy Spirit has brought them to a place of repentance. Their heart is soft and willing to allow Jesus into their whole lives, to mold them and to shape them. And because of that, he will be able to use them because they're willing to serve him. He can use them to produce a crop yielding 100, 60, 30 or 10 times what is sown. Now, we cannot all be Billy Grahams of this world. We can't even be Tim Baxter, some of us. But as our hearts grow in him, and as our depths of understanding grows, we can be encouragers. We can be Sunday school teachers. We can be welcomers. We can be the people in the kitchen, the Bible study leaders, and those who pray. The list goes on and on. It's not what we do that counts, but being willing to learn, being willing to grow, being willing to serve the King. And then we can be part of the harvest that brings people into the kingdom. And I want to say just one more thing. Just going back really to that illustration at the beginning, I believe this parable is also an encouragement for us to sow the seed, to preach the gospel of Jesus, to share with others his wonderful message of salvation. It's our job to sow the seed. That's God has given it to us to sow the seed. Not that we try and work out where it may fall, not to be discouraged if it falls on hard ground or on stony ground or on thorny ground, because God spoke in parables so that eventually even those whose hearts appeared callous towards him would believe. They may need to hear the gospel over and over again. It's our job to share it, to proclaim it. We're reminded, as Paul said to the Corinthian church, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God gives the increase. And out there, God is preparing the soil right now. So don't stop sowing the seed. We're in a time of mission at the moment. In our church, special time, we have the SMBC coming in a week or so's time. But really, at all times, we should be sowing the seed. We should at all times be sowing the seed so that people can hear the gospel. Because, as it says, it is such a special message. And that, going back to that verse, couple of verses, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. It is the message that everyone needs to hear. So there's a message in this parable, in this passage, for everyone here, isn't there? When you hear the message of Jesus, let's stop and think. When you hear it, is it falling and you're on hard ground? Are you letting it pass by without having any real effect? Or have you been enthusiastic at some time but just drifted away? Have you allowed all the temptations of this world to consume you and you've pushed God out of your life? Or is the message of Jesus alive in your heart and life? Wherever you're at today, he wants to reveal himself to you. So I invite you to let him come into your life. Let him come into your life so that you can develop and to grow in him, so that you can have a deep, eternal relationship with him, producing a harvest 100, 60 or 30 times.